Good afternoon. Welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Delia Bentz-Kang. The Eco News Report is brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, Eco News. Today, my guest is Dan Jacobson, Legislative Director of Environment California, talking about the successful passage of Prop 67, the California single-use plastic bag ban. Thank you for being on the Eco News Report today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me. It's great to have something to celebrate.
Definitely, yes. In this wake of the election, it's very, very good to have something positive to celebrate and talk about today, especially since it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, and you know, tomorrow, millions of Californians and tens of millions of people around the country will go out to grocery stores and buy products and go shopping. And the good thing is that in California, we'll use millions of bags less in a single day. It'll be one of the best environmental days we've had in years.
Yes, definitely. So speaking of that, let's jump right in and talk about how we came to this really special moment in history where we're not going to be using single-use plastic bags. And maybe we could start by just you giving us a little background about yourself and Environment California and all the work you've done to get us to this point.
Well, I'm happy to start and talk a little bit about myself, but, you know, this was a team effort. And, you know, it was you and your team up in the North Coast and our brothers and sisters with Heal the Bay and California's Against Waste all up and down the state of California that made this happen. My name is Dan Jacobson, and I work for a group called Environment California, and we're a nonprofit environmental group, obviously for California. And we have tens of thousands of members throughout the state who make either an annual or a monthly contribution, and that's how we're funded. And we mostly work on issues in the legislature and sometimes up in Congress. But this year, we worked on banning single-use plastic bags because it was on the ballot.
Right, and we were successful. And like you said, this was a huge team effort. I'm curious, so what were some of the things that you did to get people to vote yes, to remind people to vote yes?
Well, you know, I mean, to give a little bit of a background on this, for years, citizens in California have been really concerned about ocean pollution. And it was about 10 years ago when there was that report that came out that some of your listeners may be familiar with, where they were talking about the garbage patch and about, you know, in part the way the tides work and the currents and such that the waters in the ocean that scientists had discovered that there was this huge configuration of plastics that were accumulating in the ocean. And no one really knew how big it was or how dangerous that it was, but it really struck a chord in, I think, people in California and people in the United States that, you know, we're just using too much single-use plastic. And plastic bags are really the worst example of that, where something that we're literally using for just 2 or 3 minutes ends up polluting our environment for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And starting about 8 years ago, citizens in cities and towns and counties around California started to ban plastic bags in their own cities and towns. So San Francisco, Santa Monica, Marin, San Jose. And by the time that the state government caught up with what local cities and counties had been doing, we already had 125 cities and counties that had banned single-use plastic bags by 2014. And that was the year that the legislature, sort of in their infinite wisdom, said, okay, well, let's follow the lead of these local cities and towns and adopt a state law that is already fairly wide in the state of California. And they did that, and the legislature passed, and the governor signed SB 270 by authors Senator Padilla, Senator De Leon, and Senator Lara. And that should have been it. I mean, the governor signed that law in 2014, and the bill was supposed to take effect on July 1st, 2015. Now, unfortunately, the out-of-state plastic bag manufacturers said, you know, we're going to try to put our profits ahead of the environment in California. And they put not one, but as you know, two questions on the ballot to really just confuse and hopefully roll back California's law, and that ended up being Prop 67 and Prop 65. And we then spent the next 18 months going out and talking to Californians and going door to door and standing on street corners and sending a lot of email and going to community meetings and town hall meetings and what have you, and doing press conferences with what you remember is the 25-foot inflatable turtle, to tell enough people that the environmental vote on this was yes on 67 and no on 65. And, you know, through, I think, a lot of hard work and a lot of sweat and a little bit of luck, this past November, this past election, the people in California overwhelmingly heard that message, and they voted yes on 67 and no on 65.
Yeah, it really was such an amazing, basically just grassroots effort to get everyone to vote on those two propositions and the way that we wanted to see that done. And like you're saying, one of the things that I found most confusing too is people were saying, well, didn't we already do that? Didn't we already ban the bag? And whether it was just their city or county, or they thought that SB 270 was still in effect, that was kind of a hard message to get out to everyone that, no, we need to actually vote again, right?
Well, and again, you looked at from the point of view of the plastic industry, the people who are selling billions of bags into California every single year, they were looking at this like, you know, a military campaign like anything, and they were looking at it strategically. And their strategy was confusion. And they were hoping that 17 questions on the ballot, presidential election, they didn't put one, but they ended up putting two questions on the ballot. It cost them, you know, $7 to $8 million to do that. And their strategy, so to speak, was very specifically, if we put that in, put two questions on, it'll confuse the voters enough that people will just vote no. And I don't think they really cared that much about Prop 65, but what they just wanted to try to have was to throw enough confusion into the ballot that people would just vote no, which is traditionally what people do when they're confused or they don't know, or there's a long ballot. People will just get, you know, they get tired of voting, basically, and they either stop voting or just start to vote no. And so that's what their political consultants and, you know, lawyers and everybody told them was their strategy. And part of our strategy to counter that was to run exactly what you're saying, which is to run a very, very grassroots campaign, what ended up being basically a neighbor-to-neighbor campaign throughout the state of California, where people were asking their friends and people that they trusted on the environment, how should I vote on this issue? And like I said, through email and through face-to-face conversations and people coming to your door and people standing in front of, you know, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or you know, press conferences, we were able to get that word out. And that's why, like you say, it really was a grassroots movement. Our strategy was just direct face-to-face communication with millions of people.
Right, definitely. And it is such a relief that all of that hard work has paid off. So exciting. I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean for the state and for the environment, for the nation? I mean, California is really leading the way now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it means for the state is, you know, a couple things. One is we're going to use a lot less plastic bags in the state of California. But I think more importantly, what it means is that there's going to be a change of consciousness that people will have, in that instead of forgetting to bring their reusable bag because almost everybody has them in their car or at their house, that 10-cent fee, as we've seen in all the cities and counties that have already banned plastic bags, is a tickle in your brain before you walk in the store to bring your bag, to bring your own bag. And just getting that change of consciousness on single-use plastic bags, maybe it creates a change in consciousness for other single-use products that people might want to think about. So would people start to think about plastic water bottles? Would people start to think about straws? Would people start to think about so many of the other products that we use for just 2 minutes and end up polluting our environment for hundreds of years? And I'm hoping that the answer to that question is yes. We'll have to see where it goes. but I'm a firm believer in that, as goes California on the environment, so eventually, and in this case we have to hope sooner than later, so goes other states and then the rest of the country.
Definitely. And I think you're totally right with people. It's going to change just coming up with, anyways, it's going to remind people to bring their already, their reusable containers that they already have. And we have it, we've gotten so used to these single use items over the years, but they're really not that new, right? They've only been around for a number of years.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, if you've got listeners that are like me, late 40s, early 50s, or parents or grandparents, they went to the store without plastic bags. And now, at the time, the stores were just starting to use paper bags. And, you know, that was not a good option either. And that was a big, important part of what we were trying to do. We don't want a switch from plastic to paper. That's a net negative sum game, in essence. What we're trying to do is go neither. Bring your own. And that's the, in essence, reusable revolution that we're hoping to start with banning single-use plastic bags in the state of California. But you've been doing this for a long time now. I mean, what got you interested in sort of joining, of all the environmental issues you could get involved in, why did you pick this one?
That's a good question, asking me something. Well, I think that I have to go back to your comment about the ocean and learning about the plastic, the gyres in the ocean. And since, you know, I'm very involved with surfing and grown up in a community where people are very environmentally minded, just needed to do something about it and wanted to take a step farther than just, you know, I want to lead by example, basically. So being a part of this movement has been so amazing and really inspiring. And just, it's nice that something has gotten done. You know, we can feel very proud of achieving something this time around. So,
yeah, it's true. I mean, oftentimes you get involved in politics and especially environmental politics, and you can feel like you passed a law, but you might not really feel like you've done, you know, you might not see a tangible difference. I think what was cool about this one is, you know, the day after Election Day, single-use plastic bags were banned in the state of California. You could see it. You could feel it. You could, you know, stores were not handing out any more single-use plastic bags. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's very exciting, very, very cool indeed. And I think this is a good time to mention that you are listening to the Eco News Report. And I am your host today, Delia Bentz-King, and I am talking with Dan Jacobson, the Legislative Director of Environmental California. And we're talking about the successful passage of the California single-use plastic bag ban. And since we were just talking about how the day after the election, stores were not handing out bags. So does that mean that it's in effect right now, just for listeners that might not be sure about when this goes into effect?
That's exactly right. You know, for all of your listeners, what I would encourage them to do is, I mean, if they're listening to you and listening to this show, they're probably pretty environmentally conscious, and they're probably bringing their own reusable bags, so they might not even be aware of it. But I would just ask them to, you know, either post on Facebook or if they're still using email and send something out to just their whole address book in California, just saying, this is the best time of year, as we're giving thanks, to give thanks for the environment and to bring your own bag to the grocery store. And by the way, Prop 67 passed, and, you know, don't get charged for a single-use plastic bag or a paper bag, but bring your own reusable bag. And that's a great way to say thank you to the environment and probably thank you to a lot of your listeners out there who really, more than anybody else, I mean, you know, I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but your parents probably were bringing their own bags to the grocery store for 20 or 30 years now, and a lot of your friends' parents. And that's really what started this recycling, this reuse revolution, I think, is that this has been going on more than the 8 years that people have been banning bags in California. This is something that's been going on for 30 or 40 years where people have been saying, why would I take a product from a grocery store that is literally designed for a single use for just a few minutes when, you know, there's not a single person in California who, if you say the word reusable bag, they would go, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, we have a lot of environmental problems in this world that take a lot of complicated technical science to figure out and, you know, are really difficult. You need a PhD or whatever, but not this one. This one comes down to incredibly simple, but yet incredibly profound, when actually everybody does the simple thing and brings their own reusable bag to the store. We use billions of bags less every single year. And these bags were all ending up in landfills or getting into our ocean in one form or the other, by, you know, either degrading into smaller pieces of plastic or getting eaten by fish and turtles and getting, you know, plastic up the food chain is was such a great problem. But what a great way to celebrate and to go into the, you know, into Thanksgiving, which I think is kind of the coolest of all the holidays, and to be able to say, we're saying thanks to the environment, saying thanks to the earth and using less plastic bags.
Definitely. And it's so exciting that we can say that we did that as a state and as, and your vote counted for that. You know, you, everyone that voted really made a difference. And I think that's so important for us to remember, especially right now.
Yeah. Now, was your favorite part when we came up and did the press conference, or what's the part you're going to hold on to and go, oh, this was the coolest part of the campaign for me?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the whole thing was just so exciting to see all these different groups all posting on social media and holding press conferences. Just the whole journey was just so inspiring to see everyone come out and you know, like, I'm part of Surf Rider also, and every single chapter participated in Reusable Bag Day. That might have been my favorite part. We all stood outside of our local grocery stores on the same day and handed out 200 in Arcata, but everyone handed out a bunch of reusable Chico bags for free to shoppers. And people got so excited. It was right before Halloween, so they're Halloween themed, and people were using them to go trick or treating and coming out of the stores with them. It was so fun to see. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite part. But the press conference, of course, that tops everything. But I have another question for you. What happens to the remaining plastic bags that stores might have had left over still?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some that stores will, you know, might have to go through and try to use up their content or the amount they've had. But don't forget that the grocery stores have been thinking about this since 2012. You know, when the bill was introduced in 2012 and it took 2 years to get through the legislative session and it was passed in 2014, the day that that law was passed, then there were 30 days until the governor signed it. They were thinking, oh, the governor is going to sign this, and they were already getting ready for it. And the Grocer Association, which, as you can sort of imagine, all trade association, you know, all big groups like the grocers have their own trade association, people who help them comply with state laws or do other things like that. They've been telling them that this is coming, that this is here. So the good thing is this isn't a surprise, and they've had 150 examples of where cities and counties have already banned bags. So they know exactly how to get people used to living in a place where they've banned bags. I think that there's very little of what I would call a backlog of single-use plastic bags. I'm certainly hoping that's the case. I mean, I don't know for sure, but because they've had such a long time to think about it and to get ready for this, I'm hoping that to be the case. But we'll have to see, and we'll need, you know, people to be on the lookout and see if they find stores where they're giving away free single-use plastic bags. That's not a good idea.
Right, definitely. And, yeah, I think that's a good point that I feel like the bag industry kind of wanted to make people feel like this was it. Like, oh, if if the bags are banned, how will you ever carry all of your items out of the store? That'll be impossible. But really,
right.
You know, it's there are already plans in place to help people with the transition, and most people are already practicing bringing their own bag. Like you said, it'll hopefully help people remember to bring other single-use items with them as well. Do you think there is something in the making for like a ban of straws or cups or any other single-use items?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll check the emails, and we want to be responsive to everybody. I think it's good to take a little bit of time to celebrate and maybe a little bit of time this week to give thanks and then jump right back on to the campaign about how to protect our oceans and our coasts and really our future from, you know, do we want to use and sort of drown in a world of single-use plastics, or do we really have an opportunity to sort of take a look? And you know, I think plastic bags are a really good example of, you know, maybe a concept that a lot of your listeners are pretty familiar with, of sort of post-scarcity and moving the environmental movement into an opportunity to start to think about how do we organize a society of post-scarcity. And the plastic bag and the single-use plastic bag, I think, is that great example of how, you know, people were thinking, oh, this will be so convenient. We'll invent a single-use plastic bag that'll be, you know, its lifetime use will be 30 seconds. And no one thinks about the disposal cost, the environmental impact cost, the production costs. I mean, the amount of energy it takes to make a single-use plastic bag. And then when you just think, oh, and then you just end up throwing it all away. I mean, that's crazy. People will look back on us in 5, 10, 15 generations and look at examples of that and go and think like, well, that was just nuts. Why were these people wasting resources like that?
And that'll be an exciting day when people can look back and go, what was that invention? That was silly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like how you say that, you know, this we can take the time to kind of pat ourselves on the back and enjoy this moment without diving into the next thing right away. But there are, you know, are things on the future, and this is a perfect time to just to really absorb this wonderful thing that has happened and remember to give thanks to the environment.
I think so. And, you know, I mean, you're really a leader on the environmental issues up there in Northern California, and certainly with Surf Rider and the other groups that you work with. And what I'm hoping for is over, you know, let's take this week and just relax and celebrate Thanksgiving however you celebrate it, or an opportunity to give thanks and whatever the various different ways that there are to do it. But that you then come back and you, along with people around the central part of the state and the desert parts of the state and the other coastal parts of the state, let's all get together again and ask the serious questions. What are the next things that we need to do? And how do we organize, which I think is one of the key things that we need to do. And I think in times when we do organize, we do win. And look at the next issue and think, what's the next big bite out of plastic pollution that we can tackle? And I really think it'll be leaders like you and others up and down the coast of California and inland who will have conversations with their neighbors, who will have conversations with the people in their groups and talk about that, because I think that's what's got to come next. Let's take this time to rest. Let's take this time to rejuvenate. Let's take this time to give thanks. But we don't have that much time. I mean, our Earth, our ocean is in trouble, and we've got to get on the ball and come up with our next campaign.
Right. But at least, like you said, when we do come together, we do win. And this is the example of that. And that'll help us with the next frontier that we are pursuing.
I think so. I mean, we've now got literally tens of thousands of people who have volunteered for 10 minutes, 10 hours, 10 days, in your case, 2 years, on a campaign, and they've learned the skills of what it takes to organize. They've learned how to set goals. They've learned how to think about strategy. They've learned how to implement tactics. They've learned how to talk with the media. They've learned, these are all skills that we need environmental campaign activists to have, and the training ground that this proposition provided us with. I'm hoping that in, like I said, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, when great environmental activists from around the state of California and around the country and around the world get together, that some of those people will be saying, oh, well, where did you get your start? And people will say, oh, I got my start in banning bags.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it has been such a pleasure to work with you and everyone else involved with this. And I'm definitely excited to work on the next campaign, and I'm sure many, many other people are, especially after winning this fight. So again, thank you so much for all that you have done and for talking to us today. And one last question, how are you celebrating Thanksgiving? What are you most thankful for?
You know, what I'm thankful for is a couple things. I mean, obviously my friends and my family who really create the opportunity and the space for me to be able to do this. But I'm really thankful for people like you and the tens of thousands of people around the state of California who didn't give up on this issue, who 30 or 40 years ago started to bring their own reusable bags. It used to be that if you went to the store with your own reusable bag, people would look at you like, what are you doing, crazy person?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and it was just weird, and it took rebels, strong people, to just continue to go to the store and go, no, I don't want your plastic bag. And from that little movement, and that's what I'm really grateful for, is that the individual acts that people will take, what I'm really grateful for is the individual acts that people will take that make our world a better place. And I think especially now with all the concern about protecting ourselves and about protecting the rights of so many people in the state of California and in the country and in the world, that I'm really grateful for the people who stand up at early stages of campaigns when it's uncomfortable to do it and who say, count me first. And those early adopters, the people who do it first, they're incredible.
Definitely. I couldn't have said it better myself. And I'm grateful for having you on this show today. And that your speech right there is just so inspiring. I think it's the perfect way to wrap this show up and celebrate Thanksgiving and the environment and everything we've talked about today. So thank you again so much for taking the time to talk to us on this special day.
Okay, I'll see you at Oceans Day 2017.
Yes, I will be there.
Okay, see you soon. Happy Thanksgiving.
Can you tell us what your website is or some contact information?
Oh, yeah, sure. The best way to find out more about what we're doing is just to go to www.environmentcalifornia.org. Or a lot of people are on Facebook now, so you can find us on Facebook. We're posting a lot of stuff up right now and putting videos out there, too. Or just email me, djacobson@environmentcalifornia.org, and we can figure out ways to start the next campaign.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. See you soon.
All right. Okay. Bye. This has been the Eco News Report. My name is Delia Benz-King, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Dan Jacobson, the Legislative Director of Environment California, and we were talking about the successful passage of Prop 67, the California Single-Use Plastic Bag Ban. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the public affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org. The Eco News Report is produced at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Tune in again next week at this same time